Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Another terrific episode of Last Christian. Today, we are doing our Bible study. And, you know, sorry I missed you guys last week. I was encumbered. but JD, you had Mark fill in for me, and that was a fun show, wasn't it?
Oh, man, it was. You know, before we got started, David, Mark was like, well, where were you guys? And I said, well, honestly, Mark, I have no idea because, you know, it's not like David follows the notes all the way, you know, it kind of bounces around. And Mark pulled out some paper and he said, I printed up 21 pages of stuff here. What do we go with? And I said, well, you're just going to have to do it, you know, wing it.
Just wing it.
Basically. And it turned out to be a great show. And, you know, Mark's a wonderful person to have around. And, you know, I've told the audience that we'll have him on at least once a month, you know, so.
Oh, yeah. He's our UK correspondent.
Yeah.
So. We'll get him on. Now, it's actually today, I think we have like 45 pages. So we won't run out of stuff to talk about.
You know, I never do.
Just the way it goes. Yeah. But before we get too far down the rabbit hole, would you pray us in?
Absolutely. Father, mm-hmm. we come to you and we ask that you please give David the words to say and me the questions to ask as we try to reach that last Christian, that last individual before the rapture of the church. And Father, we know that you're working on a lot of people out there, and we turn them over to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit work on them to bring them home before it's too late. And we know that time is short, Father, and we ask that you please bless this show and help us get the word out to as far and as wide as we possibly can. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, amen. You know, I just want to give a shout out too. There are a number of people that support us, and you can find support links both on lastchristian.net, thehiddenday.com. So you can just head on over there and do that. And we're really, really grateful. We're not mm-hmm. the kind that's going to, you know, call you every day and tell you that the world's going to collapse if you don't send us money.
Right.
Or if you send us $1,000, we'll send you this, you know, special menorah that's blessed. And then you'll have extra blessings from God for Easter. Because that's a lot of nonsense.
Right.
Now, if the Lord gives you, encourages you to support us, we do use it for our purpose. We spend a lot of time and money here, so we're greatly appreciative of that. Yeah. And you can rest assured that is a good seed and not a bogus seed. So it
Amen.
Will grow and it will produce fruit.
And if you can't send us any cash, that's okay. You can pray for us. Mm-hmm. And that does.
You can get this coffee.
Oh, yeah. I got mine too, David.
Mm.
Got mine too.
Well, that's one of the things, and we got.
See it or not?
Yours is evaporating.
There it goes! Yay!
We got that. Yeah. You can go to the Hidden Day / or excuse me, everydaydose.com/ Hidden Day.
Yeah.
And that'll actually support us. Make sure you use the Hidden Day in there, so
that way it counts.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what keeps us going. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know you don't like asking for money, mm-hmm. and I don't like it either. And it's primarily because of the Laodicean church. Okay. But Paul does say, you know, workman is worthy of double hire, actually. So, you know, there's that edge that we walk of, hey, you know, we're really working hard. You wouldn't believe somebody that the amount of hours we put into this study.
You wouldn't
put on this 1 hour show.
Work
behind the scenes.
Yeah, it doesn't just pop out there, that's for sure. But I want to mention them, seeing as how you've mentioned Everyday Dose. We've also got The Hotel, which is a brand new one. I can't remember the name of the hotel something. Anyway, it's on lastchristian.net. And it's a collection, hotel collection, that's the name of it, where you can go and... it's got some really cool fragrances and things like that that are available to you, scents and
like when you go out to the hotel,
diffusers.
Instead of stealing the shampoo and the perfumes and stuff.
It's by their mark. I mean, you know, they've got big hotels in like New York and Florida and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that's a good one. And we also have the Conservative Store going on too. And that's a great place to get mugs and t-shirts and everything else that are conservative.
We'll be adding some other stuff too, but that sounds fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's lots of stuff there. Plus, again, you can give to us directly and we would really appreciate that. We even got some thank you gifts that we'll send out occasionally too. So that's,
yeah, but we want to give a shout out to those who did. It's absolutely much appreciated and it's used for the gospel alone. Mm-hmm. I don't have a jet yet.
So, never will.
And probably, if I get a jet, it'll be because of the money I made, not because of donations.
Yeah, right, that's for sure. Yeah, that's for sure. All right, David, let's get down to business.
All right, let's get into this. Yeah. Sorry, folks.
You're good. Go ahead.
All right, so we've been talking about Noah's Ark, okay? And then all the people that poo-poo the idea, and there's a global flood and blah, blah, blah. Okay. So let's ask a few things. I like the dimensions because the dimensions are specific. Don't like the modern translations where they try and put it into feet or meters. It's like, that's not the point.
Okay.
The point is it was 300 cubits, 50 wide, okay, 30 high, and things like that. So, and those are specific numbers for specific reasons. But let's touch on this real quick. I mean, there's so many people that think they found it. And
I've seen that
they called it Mount Ararat. But then there's those who think that's not really the original Mount Ararat. They just named it that because Constantine's mom wanted it there or something. So
which is possible.
That's possible. There are a couple of one in particular that's a really good spot. I'm not here to talk about that. You could look that up because I don't know. I haven't been there myself, but it looks really promising that it was actually there. And that would be proof that it was there. And isn't that like God? When time comes, all of a sudden you find the Ark of the Covenant, you find Noah's Ark, you find all these different things that are like all these people that have been poo-pooing it all these years. So, by the way, here it is. and so you could look for the thing too, but how could it last that long is one of the big questions.
Yeah. How could it? I mean, you're talking about wood, you know, it seems like it would deteriorate. And we're talking thousands of years.
Yeah. So, it's all hidden in the one word, gopher. Okay. And sometimes I think of that and I'm thinking, what, groundhog? Like the ground, like Groundhog's Day? It's going to come back. No, it's actually from the word gopher.
Oh, okay.
And so the Hebrew word gopher. And so there's been conjecture over the years of, what type of wood is this? Is this a cypress tree? Mm-hmm. Is this a cedar tree? Because the Talmud has it as a cedar, and then some of the other writings have it as a cypress. And they're all trying to define what kind of wood it is. But here's something cool. When in doubt, because the Hebrew was very like floaty, you know, like, hey, it could mean this, it could mean that. And it just gives you ideas to think about. And it's more of an idea package where if you look in the Greek is cold, hard, specific. And I got like five different tenses. So, you know, exactly who said it, who they said it to. Cause I could I could say, hey, you have to go to the store. Well, is that you singular or you plural? Mm-hmm. You know, so there's that mix. No, in the Greek, it's specific. You'll have a you singular and a you plural. Like if I say, I need another one of those. Well, do you mean another one of the same kind or another one of like a different one?
Another
is different. Yeah. But there's heteros and allos in the Greek, which is, you know, has a difference. There's another one of the same kind, another one of a different kind. So Greek is extremely specific.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to ask you this, David, my normal stupid question, right? When this happened, they weren't in the quote unquote promised land at this point, right? I mean,
it was before the flood.
So this would have been in that land or not in that land yet. And the reason I'm asking that question is because if it was in the quote unquote promised land, then there are specific trees that that exist in that area, right? So, I mean, you could kind of take it from that.
It was a different ecosystem before the flood.
Okay.
Basically, short story is, you know, it was one giant landmass. All the water was underneath until it was broken up. So it was huge and it was all stuck together. And the entire Earth was a similar temperature.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Because of the snow globe effect that was back then, but that is not now.
Okay.
I mean, when we talked about that on the last episode that I was in. It was all similar. So all the trees and everything would have grown in all the different areas.
Okay.
It wasn't until after the flood that, you know, they adapted. They've done micro adaptions to fit wherever they're at. Okay. And that's been shown to happen very quickly, as a matter of fact, and revert back. That's some of the things that evolutionists don't talk about. Like you can have a temporary adaptation for a species of animal. And then if you put it back in the other conditions, it'll adapt back to what it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. But they don't do that. They think it's all, so all these major changes. No, it didn't. They're just adaptions to fit because God's smart. But so I don't think it's a type of wood, and here's why I say that. You ever hear of the Septuagint?
Yes.
Most people have. Some people think it was like a pine or a fir too, but in the Septuagint, it's actually called the Zulon Tetragonon.
Okay.
So, and we all know what that means.
No, don't have the first clue.
Oh, okay. It literally means in the Greek a squared timber.
Ah, okay. So something that's been cut.
Yeah. And we would say that today. So if I say, hey, I'm going to build this out of some lumber. And then, 5,000 years from now, people ask, what kind of a tree is the lumber tree?
Right.
All right. We've got to look this up, the lumbar tree. Maybe it's a mattress place. It's called the lumbar yard. I don't know.
Yeah. I've been to lumber yards. Yeah.
The lumbar. Get it? It was a play on words.
But
that, so in the Greek, they translated it and they made it exactly what they believed that it said. And remember, there was 72 of these guys, hence the name Septuagint. It was like they called it the 70, but technically there was six from every tribe, which made it 72 that translated into Greek. And as the story goes, they all translated exactly the same because they were very particular to get it right in the Greek. I don't know if that's a legend or not, but we do have the Septuagint, and it's at least close to that legend.
Yeah.
And this is what it said to them, a squared timber. So if I go and I say, hey, here's some logs for you to build with, JD, you'd be, what am I going to do with this? But if I cut it into shapes like long strips and they're 2 inches by 4 inches by 8 feet long, that's we call that lumber. It's cut into shape.
Right.
So in the Greek, this would essentially mean it was built out of a technique of squared lumber. Mm-hmm. All right. So, and what they think it was like a type of interweaving that would lock together. That they used in the ships back then. So it would take the beating of the year's worth of flooding that it was about to do. Uh-huh. Okay. And it would lock together like this. So it's not a tree per se, because that's the only place anywhere that word is used. Go fair.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, it's not even, it's not in the apocryphal books. It's nowhere else in the Bible. No one else knows what it was. Noah left. It's not even in the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Wow. Okay.
Other than in Genesis chapter 6.
How about Enoch?
Nope.
Nowhere, huh?
Wow. Nope. And Enoch talks mostly about before the flood anyway.
Okay.
It's just nowhere. So I kind of lean heavily in that direction, that it was not a species of tree.
Like specific, yeah. Okay.
But a type of building that it's used the wood. It was made of a squared lumber. In other words, gophered wood. It would mean, it was gophered together like this. It was cut into shape and then got like that. And squared timber would answer that question. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the interlocking of that makes sense. I mean, I was trying to figure out, exactly how he put it together, and the interlocking thing you were talking about, that kind of answers that question for me.
Yeah, so wait. So repeat the name of it again? The Greek?
I have no idea how to say that.
Zulon tetragonon.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. Good, but I'll just take your word for that one, okay?
Well, you can say square timber.
Square timber, okay. I got it.
Yeah, we can do that one, too. It reminds me of my grandfather.
I can put it in Texan. Yeah, I can put it in Texan for you. But.
Yeah, put it in Texas. So he was a Southerner, too, my grandpa. And so I went to school. And I was the first one to go to college. So he says, well, tell me what you learned in that there college. I said, well, I learned how to read. He says, smack, you already knew how to read, son. He said, what else did you learn? Said, well, I learned how to write. Smack, you already knew how to write. I spent a lot of money in that there college. Why don't you give me some of that there fancy mathematics stuff? I said, all right. I said, pi r squared. He thinks for a second, he goes, smack, pi r squared, pi r round, cornbread squared.
That's good.
So that's squared timber for you right there.
There you go.
Now you learn some Texan.
Okay, now let's move on from that.
Yeah, hurry up. This is getting way out of hand.
On to the covering here, because I was pitch is what I always knew.
Yeah, that's where we're going.
But I didn't really know what the heck pitch was.
Bitumen.
Yeah. So
they had like the San Andreas, the tar pits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we get oil from today. They pull the oil out, and there's all sorts of nonsense and greasy and nasty. Mm-hmm. And some of that it gets the tar on there. That's what they used. It was the pitch.
Okay.
Was the tar pits from the oil that we have today. So it's. Oil is not fossil fuels, folks. Rockefeller created that myth in order to create this fake limited supply of oil.
Right.
So he can increase his prices. The oil does not come from fossils. It's inherent in the earth and actually regenerates. Mm-hmm. But he didn't want people to know that because then it'd be dirt cheap.
Yeah. They don't want to know it today.
Yeah, they still don't want you to know. Yeah, fossil fuels, they're burning. Everything. Yeah. No, it's in the earth and God put it there. But this is the pitch, that black stuff. Mm-hmm. And they would pine tar they could use too, but this was the pitch he was talking about. And they would cover the inside and the outside, and that would seal it off, just like varnishing something today. Yeah. But it was a lot better because it goes back to what we're talking about. They still found it up on the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's still intact. And so, well, why did he make it that way? Well, he had to make sure the animals were safe.
Right.
Yeah. So we had to interlock this squared timber, and we got to cover it inside and out with pitch.
Yeah, you don't want it to leak like everything. Mm-hmm.
And then I think several people have done this, but the first people to do it was a Korean group. And I forgot their name, but the dimensions, 300 cubits by 50 cubits. And they said that is the ideal dimension to withstand any kind of storm on the ocean. because of those dimensions, the ship can't be side to a wave. It always turns face first into a wave.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. And that's what they found because of these dimensions. And now they make ships according to these dimensions because of that. Uh-huh. And it doesn't matter how big or how small, as long as the dimensions are the same, the wave would come and it would turn itself into it and keep itself upright. So God is science. There's science in the Bible. It's mathematically correct.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. And it's perfect. And it's absolutely perfect. Uh-huh.
And another thing people complain about, are you got all these millions of species of animals in there? No. There were two horses, which turned into zebras and big horses and little horses and all the different things that are here today as they branched off. Okay. Well, you're telling me there's all these different cats? No, it was one set of cats. All right. And it turned into big cats and small cats and lions and cheetahs. And I want to get a cheetah. They're cute.
You like cheetahs, huh?
Yeah, they're actually really good house pets. They're just kind of big, but they're docile. And I just want to see them run. And here, go get it. Hey. How'd you get back here so fast?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they're cool. So there's just so many things that I just want to touch on. We can go on ad infinitum, but I just want to touch on them that, yeah, there were. Another thing people, you know, they get their panties in a bunch over is, oh, how did these animals get to Australia? They'd hop out of the... Here we go again. It was Pangaea, and they were all on one big continent after the flood. And it wasn't until the days of Peleg, a couple hundred years later, that the land masses broke up. And you can see that. Mm-hmm. They all fit together, and they're like, over millions of years. No, they all broke up at the same time. And that's why we get the mountains, because as it moved, it kind of crushed up on one end. Mm-hmm. So now we got these mountains, the big mountains in the left part of the country and the smaller mountains in the right part of the country. And then that whole ridge that goes down through South America, it was all because it was all squished in that direction. Yeah. And then you see the same thing in the Mariana Trench. That's where the earth split open. It's 7 miles deep down there. Wow. And you'll find it, and then you'll find the Ring of Fire. That's where it was all cracked open. And that's what he said, the windows of the deep, or the fountains of the deep, excuse me. And then the windows of heaven came in. So the fountains of the deep were broken up. And then that's where all that water came up and sprayed everything out. You could see the trench and the Ring of Fire all the way around the earth, which is exactly what the Bible says.
Right. Yeah. So, what's amazing to me, David, is that every time, and you kind of touched on this earlier, every time somebody wants to criticize the Bible, then the proof shows up, and so, that's the reason I think that it's still possible to find the Noah's Ark for sure.
Oh, 100%.
Factually, the same thing with with the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know. But if somebody was to come out today and say, we know for sure evolution works because you can't prove this happened, God would provide the proof that happened.
He's just waiting for their mouth to open and the
exactly,
stupid to come out.
Because it's happened every time throughout history. If you guys don't believe me, look it up. I mean, it's easy to find it. Go ahead, David. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah. So let's touch on that. I mean, we just touching on these things is going to take an entire show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they say, so they go on about the animals. Well, yeah, okay. But they were all together at one time. That's why they all spread out. And they can spread out relatively quickly. They've shown, they've demonstrated how a species could, within 100 years, be across an entire nation if you just put them in one spot.
Right.
So there's no reason that they couldn't have spread out and gone all over the place, especially as soon as they got off the ark, because it was all free game. Mm-hmm. Everything was wide open back then.
Yeah, wide open.
No predators weren't there yet and all this other stuff. So there's that. Then they talk about, look at the fossils. Oh, fossils, that proves evolution. Oh, how? Well, because we can see the evidence that they're... Okay, but you don't see any, where are the intermediate steps all of over these millions of years, number one, okay? And there's a lot of things about fossils. I'll touch on them real quick before the halftime here.
Okay.
But you don't see intermediate steps. You see a monkey, you see a man, okay? And then you see, you see different types, but you don't see any migrating and something that's between a monkey and a man. Well, how come it? Well, it was just a weird coincidence. No, because there's not there. If fossils happen the way you think they happen, then you would see them. You would see them all over the place. But the bottom line is, when an animal dies today, you got crows, you got bacteria, and you got the breakdown. You will not get a fossil.
Right.
Fossils can only happen in one day, a rapid covering of live animals. Okay. And that's the only way to do it. And the only way to answer that is a flood. And what happens is the floods, as it's moving around, it pulls up a layer of sediment. And okay. Now you see all these animals that are in that layer, and then the waves go out and come back like a tidal wave, and then you get another layer of settlement. And that's what we see is all of this layers. And they're like, oh, millions of years ago, look at this layer. No, it happened with one event, with the flood, and that's demonstrable. Because they got trees that go through all the layers. So this tree just happened to live for millions of years while this was growing up here. No, the trees aren't that old.
Right.
So, and that is demonstrable and then they make up, well, it's a circular reasoning. They'll make up, oh, the Jurassic layer and the, you know, this layer and that layer. And they'll say it's in, but what happens is you see different animals in all the other layers. Right. So, well, how come this one was 50 million years ago, but we also see it a million years ago?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because it didn't happen that way. And the whole reason that you see different ones in different levels at times is because if they're smaller, they're going to fall to the bottom quicker.
Right.
As opposed to a big one who's going to try and swim around and save his life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lair that's a foot high is not going to kill that particular animal, but it will kill the tiny ones.
Yeah.
So you see smaller ones in here. And that's why I say, well, we see them, you know, migrating to bigger. And then you also see them on top of mountains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How come there are seashells and oysters and trilobites on top of the Himalayas and the Andes and the Alps, which are the highest mountains in the world?
Right.
How come you have ocean bottoms? How come there's a whale in the middle of the Sahara Desert? It's because it was a global flood.
Yeah.
Okay. Not because of millions of years ago. Yeah. No.
Well, no, it's just all it's the evidence. It's evidence that God left for us to discover. That's what it is.
Yeah. And so we see a lot of these things. And it was there on purpose. And the whole idea of evolution is specifically to dumb down society. And they start with the children. You ever see the children's books? That's every single one of them in the world starts with, and millions of years ago. Mm-hmm. So they're indoctrinating these kids. So they just think, oh, okay, there was millions of years. Mm-hmm. So when they grow up, oh, there was millions of years. You can't be 6,000 years old. Well, you were indoctrinated. You have to undo that. But we'll talk about that in the second half. All of this is just to prove to you. And what it proved to me is that this is demonstrable evidence. And to prove that the Bible was true all along, despite what all these other people say.
Right.
And that the rest of it must be true. And the rest of it says you're a sinner. Okay. You're, you know, an offspring of Adam. You've sinned. You need a savior to come and save you from your sin, or else you got to pay for the sin. Mm-hmm. And that means eternal separation from God. But he loved you so much that he said, I want you to be with me. I'll pay off the sin, but you kind of got to agree to it.
Right.
So we're asking you agree to Jesus paying off your sin. And this way you can come to heaven with us. So we're going to get into a lot more in the second half. Lord willing, we'll see you guys then. Bye.
Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB, Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And we're back.
Amen.
Lord willing. They're still here. So what a beautiful thing. So I was talking about how creation actually led me to know that, the Bible was true. Mm-hmm. And I learned all the stuff in school, just like everyone else. They taught me the evolution. They taught me this and that. But I was mm-hmm. a critical thinker, at least. And I said, and I'm looking at the evidence. I'm saying, okay, there you got this embryo. Where's this embryo from? Mm-hmm. Look at the embryo. It's the same as this and the same as that. Turns out that entire embryo thing that they still have in the books was mm-hmm. proven to be a fraud. But they still put it in the books. Yeah. And by law, it said, no, this is a fraud. Uh-huh. So it's legally, it is a fraud and not viable evidence, but they still use it in the books. And it's just surprising because the vast amount of scientists today are not evolutionists. Now, right. They may hate God still, but they're like, no, evolution is not viable. There must be mm-hmm. something else.
Yeah.
Maybe aliens came and seeded us. Oh, okay. Well, where did they come from? Well, it's still the same idea. Intelligent design.
David, the scientist... Hawkins, I think was his name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was always coming out with something, to try mm-hmm. and try and figure out where the universe came from and all that, right? I mean, he worked on so many different projects and none of them panned out for him. And
right.
So his last one was that the universe existed, get this, the universe existed because it had to. That was it. That was his
gravity exists. Yeah. So therefore the universe must be.
To. Yeah.
Well, who invented gravity?
I just always thought that was amazing, that instead of saying, okay, I give up, he just basically punted, and that mm-hmm. that was toward the end of his life.
Well, here's my theory on Hawking. Okay. You want it?
Yeah.
I don't think any of the stuff he said was really him.
Really? Okay.
Well, think about it. The dude, obviously couldn't take care of himself.
Right.
And it's sad that he got that disease, but he couldn't talk. He couldn't do anything but mm-hmm. look at you like this and move his eyes around.
Right.
How do you know that's what he's really saying?
Yeah.
Or is it someone else just talking for him in the background, like the Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, I was going to say, like the Wizard of Oz. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
How do you know? You don't know.
Yeah.
They just put him up there and say, oh, yeah, here's a genius. And how did his entire body deteriorate like that, but not his brain?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a huge issue for me.
That's a good point.
I honestly, if I were to bet, I would bet that was not him talking, but that was the powers that be that just want to push that narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if, being as smart as he really was, he might be like all the other quantum physics today that are realizing that, the Bible has to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into that in a minute. Don't forget the quantum mechanics. For me.
Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Bible's not a science book. Yes, mm-hmm. it is. So we talked about the fossils on the mountains. We talked mm-hmm. about all the sedimentary layers. If you look out west, out in your neck of the woods over there, you can see how the layers were bent. Of rock layers. How do rock layers bend over millions of years and all follow that path? Oh, well, it went up and then it went. No, they were all together at once and they were kind of like muddy, like uh-huh. cement and mud. And then as the earth moved, they kind of went like this.
Uh-huh.
And then they folded and they did this and that, and they all folded together.
Yeah.
Just like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
And so you see the sedimentary layers and the fact that they all follow that. If it was just one layer after another, you might see one bend, but then the next layer would be straight again.
Right. Right. Uh-huh.
Okay. Because it was millions of years later, it didn't fold together. So there's that, the sedimentary rocks. And get this, JD, it's the same layers all over the globe.
I know that to be a fact too. I've seen some documentaries on that, you know, and these were by scientists, and you know, not necessarily Christians, you know, but
they found them everywhere you look. You go to England and see Mark, and it's the same layers that you see over here in Colorado. You see in South America because the whole Earth did that at once. But by fire this time.
I've been to the Grand Canyon. I've seen it there. I've been to the Big Bend National Park in Texas and seen it there. You know, I mean, there's lots of places you can go where you can actually see this stuff. I mean, you know, if no matter you have no science in you at all, you can still see it. It's very visible.
And then there's the erosion, like you said, the Grand Canyon, that was all one big erosion. And they're like, oh, look at that little river on the bottom over millions of years carved this canyon.
Yeah. I saw, believe it or not, when you said that, I couldn't help but think about, I saw an episode of the Flintstones when I was really little. And they had the Grand Canyon there, and it was a little stream about as big as my pen here, and it, that was running through. And they were saying, you know, in 50 billion years or whatever, you know, this is going to be something, you know, so, you know, you need to know this happened or whatever. It's stupid. But anyway.
Well, that's funny. They also had the McDonald's, you know, over 3 dozen served.
Right.
People that remember when they had over 5 million served.
Yeah, they used to put that on their signs. Yeah, I remember that.
That's funny. Over 6 dozen served. And it has a clever show. You know, that was a takeoff of the Honeymooners. You know that, right?
Okay.
The Flintstones.
Yeah, okay.
They made a cartoon version of the Honeymooners.
That makes sense. Yeah, I watched that show too. It was also funny. I love that show.
Yeah. For all you old people out there. Okay, so, but here's the deal. After the flood, there were still giant pockets of water. We still see some today in the Great Lakes. But there was an even bigger one back then, but there was so much. And if you saw the Grand Canyon over millions of years, you would see all that deposit out at the bottom by Texas over there. You would see it, and all that deposit over the years would come out. If you do that today and you've got a river, you can see all the sediment coming out and forming that. But if you do it quickly, it would all just wash away and kind of mellow. So, but since you don't see that, it didn't happen that way. But the bigger problem is this. The river now kind of flows through because it went down and it comes out in the south, so it follows the regular flow. But the canyon itself goes uphill. So you can't have that little river going uphill and then coming back down for millions of years to cut that thing out.
Right.
No, what there was a hump, a big thing of water here, right? Oh, where's my hand? Okay. Yeah. So here's a little bit of hump in the land. Here's a big, big lake of water, and then it starts to go over. And you know when you get there, and you cut a little piece in the top, and then it goes. So that's what happened. So now it broke through all of that, and it took that all out at once. And that also is demonstrable in the fact that that's what we see. Do you remember 1980?
Yeah, sure do.
Mount St. Helens?
Yes.
All right, Mount St. Helens is a creationist dreamland, if you would, because it created a Grand Canyon.
Oh, okay.
Like overnight.
Wow, okay.
Because the mountain blew up, well, the waters went in there. So now we see all these trees that form this bog, which are forming some coal. And they're like, oh, it takes millions of years to make this coal. No, they got coal from 1980. Okay. They got polystrate fossils from 1980. Okay. They got where the water broke through. It created the exact same. It's like a mini Grand Canyon over there.
Okay.
And by their terms, oh, this would take 2 million years to do this. No, yeah. It happened overnight, essentially.
That makes sense.
See these erosional features that are happening today.
Yeah.
We can say, hey, this was here. This was not here in 1979 and it was there in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
So it just proves that we see that these floods happening quickly. Mm-hmm. And that's demonstrable. And you could look that up. Oh, if you go to the creation research, ICR.org.
Okay.
Institute for Creation Research. That's a good one. Answersingenesis.org. Yep, that's a good one. But ICR is a good one. And they'll show you. They'll demonstrate these things. Know who's a good one for this is why is his name escape me? But they tried to lock him up because he said the school books were lying to you because they put all this false information just to try and push evolution.
Uh-huh.
And he's on there too. Let me see. Creation Museum is a good one. Let me see here. Pull this one up. Songer. Answers in Genesis. We got that one. Mm-hmm. Biblical Science Institute. There's another one. Creation Museum. Where's that? Let me see. Oh, yeah, there's so many of them. And we'll see. So, answers for that. Oh, Bible Science Institute. Did I say that one?
Mm-hmm.
AIG, bookmark. So there's a bunch. There's a bunch.
Yeah. So there are some scientists out there that do agree with creationism.
All of them do. Mm-hmm. If they're honest with themselves, they all do. But some of them don't want to lose their tenure.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. So we see it's called polystrate fossils. Mm-hmm. So where you see literally animals in different layers too, you'll see animals that are in the middle of giving birth. So it took like millions of years
for
an animal to give birth.
Okay.
You see others of them bunched together. So they were like all terrified because the flood was coming and they're all bunched in one spot.
Yeah.
And then you see some of the eggs where the eggs are there and some of the eggs are hatching. And then you see another one where there's still viable things inside the egg. Well, if it was dead, you wouldn't have a viable thing. And they've even found you could look this one up. They found like soft tissue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With actual cells in the dinosaurs.
Yeah, I've seen that. Mm-hmm.
Which is impossible if it's millions of years.
I'm really afraid that they're going to come up with find something like that, and then, you know, we've talked about it on some shows before. You know, let's create them again. You know,
well, they did the dire wolves, so
they did the dire wolf. Yeah. So why wouldn't they do T-Rex if they had, you know, if they had the ability to do it, or you know.
Yep. Now remember, God is long suffering and merciful.
Mm-hmm.
But what did He do at Babel? Just the minute before they were just about to have that breakthrough, he comes in and says,
not so fast.
Nope. Hold on there, Baba Louie. So, yeah, and that's what's going to happen here. They're going to do this and they're going to do that. And they got this breakthrough and the mark of the beast and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's all going to come down in the very end that just before he thinks he's won, he's like, ta-da!
Yeah,
here's my ace of spades.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I win.
Right before the victory comes defeat.
Yeah, so I'm not afraid of any of these things. But it's just interesting because literally the worse it gets, the closer he is.
Exactly, yeah. That's
a wonderful thing.
That's the reason Christians are not worried and they're not scared. I mean, true Christians.
Yeah.
There are Christians out there that are worried about everything. And you need to start asking them some serious questions.
Yeah. I even got some friends and colleagues and they're like, you got to prepare. We're going to fight. And this is why, man? It's like, listen, they're going to go ahead. Kill me.
Yeah.
Cause I'm going to just proclaim Christ. And what's going to happen is when I proclaim Christ as they're killing me, then millions of people are going to come. That's how we got, It Is Well With My Soul. We got that hymn has been, for years, but that was, it's Well With My Soul, because that came out of tragedy with his wife. And then there's another one where the Indian missionary said, though none go with me, still I will follow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's another one. Yeah. He was literally brought before his tribe and says, we're going to kill you if you don't renounce Jesus. He says, I have decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then they killed his kids, you know, though none go with me, still I will follow. Mm-hmm. That was his word.
Yeah.
And then, so this whole entire thing was exactly what this guy said. And then after he killed his kids and his wife and then him, and they're like, well, this guy didn't give up. The entire tribe was saved at that point. So was it worth it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that'll be used for God's glory too. Mm-hmm. So how about it? Don't you just sit here and try and fight to stay here? Why?
Right.
Let's go home. It's so much better.
Yeah. But anyway, for real.
That's another bag of chips. So we have the erosional features, the polystrate fossil trees that go right through different sedimental layers, including the larger animals are in different, they're on a bunch of different layers. And they got their circular reasoning we were talking about. Oh, this is in a Jurassic layer. That means it's this animal. Oh, if it's this animal, it's in the Jurassic layer. Mm-hmm. You know, and they go back and forth. Oh, look, we just proved it. No, you just got circular reasoning. And they don't have it. Plus, get this. Pretty much every culture has a flood legend.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's over 365, I think, to count now, of different things, and they all have it, from Gilgamesh to Manu to Deucalion, and they all try and make it, hey, my God's better than your God thing. Mm-hmm. But the point is, they came from somewhere, similar to when we talk about, you know, the Maserati or the zodiac in the sky. Mm-hmm. Every single culture around the world has the same characters. Well, how did they get the same characters? It's not like it's a connect the dots and you can make the character.
Right.
It's because they all have the same origin. Mm-hmm. So that's what we see. And these all have these same flood legends because it's the same origin. It was a worldwide flood.
Yeah.
Some people will say that it's it was a local flood. Well, how did it cover every mountain on the earth if it was a local flood?
Right.
You know, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't hold any water.
<Get it>? Right.
The Chinese have Nuwu, Nuwa. Matter of fact, even all the Chinese language has, it's all based from the flood. You say boat and it literally has eight people in a boat. that's the pictogram. That's the Noah's Ark. Okay. Uh-huh. The Aztecs have it. There's so many. So that's a good one. At over 365 actual legends of a great flood, and you can look at them all. But there's also a genetic bottleneck.
Okay. Yeah. You mentioned that before we got on air, and I didn't ask about it, but I'm asking about it now. What is that?
Yeah, so basically when they're finding out the DNA, we didn't find the DNA until the 50s. Matter of fact, even hundreds of years ago, they didn't have all this other stuff. We didn't know the fountains of the deep were there until the middle of the 1900s. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, there's fountains there. Yeah, well, that's what God said back in the book of Job.
Right?
Yeah. He says, hey, do you know the fountains of the deep? Yeah, okay. No, and we didn't know about it. But now everyone thinks, it's just there the whole time. No, we didn't know about them. But there's the Bible proving it. Uh-huh. The genetic bottleneck. That's hard to say. All right, say it. Genetic bottleneck evidence.
Genetic what? Bottleneck.
Bottleneck.
Evidence. Yeah. Genetic bottleneck hard, right? Evidence. Okay, yeah.
That's like saying, I am persuaded to believe nothing can separate us from the wonderful love of God. For above it will lead us if we let him live within us.
That I can't say. Okay.
Yeah.
What you just
that
did
was hard.
I can't
learn that one.
Okay.
But the mitochondrial DNA actually points to and proves that all humans have the same mother.
Mm. Okay.
They call her mitochondrial Eve. Mm-hmm. And guess how long ago it was?
Mm.
Just under 6,000 years.
Yeah,
surprise.
I was going to say, it has to be, yeah. has to be under just under 6,000. You know, and for those of you that don't understand the significance of that, when the 6,000 runs out, you're into the millennium reign of Christ. And if you if you hadn't accepted Jesus by the time you get there, you have been through it. have really been through it.
Yep. If you make it through that, I'll be impressed. Yeah. I'll get your coffee. Mm-hmm. So not only does the bottleneck show that we all came from one woman, and the Y chromosome suggests that all men descended from one male line. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's one male, one female, and it also shows a bottleneck somewhere around 4,500 years ago.
Okay.
That's what we would call Noah.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Okay.
That makes perfect
and
sense.
And it literally shows that it was one person, but there's most likely eight people that survived this bottleneck. You can't make this up.
Uh-huh.
You know? Yeah. So they found through genetics that the people that we have now all came from a similar set of people about 4,500 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then before that, about 6,000 years ago, almost, from one man and one woman.
Right.
And it's all in the genetics. I mean, you can't argue with the genetics.
No.
It's there. It's not like, you know, someone contrived 1,000 years ago to make up this DNA lie and then put it all together and make it look like we all came from one person. No, they're just following the evidence trail.
Yeah. Are they doing that with, I know you've mentioned this before, that, you know, the DNA is getting stretched to its max at this point.
There's X amount of errors that come in each successive generation.
Has science gotten into that yet? Or do you know of any?
Oh, yeah. That's why but they don't want to tell everybody because they realize that the humans are about to break down and won't be viable anymore because the DNA won't be good. That's why they're going to introduce all of this stuff. We're going to improve your DNA. That's why they got CRISPR. That's why they got all this stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we can fix those errors. And then you can live forever. You could be like God. Where have we heard that before?
Yeah, same lie that Satan told Eve. Yeah, you'll be like God. Same one.
So we got ziggurats and all the high places. They're all trying to get to heaven, just like the Tower of Babel. So they're all over the place. You see the pyramids. And we should talk about that, the new stuff they found below the pyramid.
Yeah, a whole city.
That's going to be a good show. Yeah. I'm looking up all the biblical references to that. And there's quite a few, believe it or not.
Okay.
We would think. How would the pyramids be in there? Well, when you find out what they are, then you'll know.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. We'll have to do a show on that one.
Yeah. So you got Mount Ararat and the Ark tradition. You got a bunch of different stuff that are in there, but we only got like a few minutes left here. So,
Well, let's go to the Ark as a type of Christ. I've been looking forward to
getting
into that. That's symbolism and theological interpretations.
Okay, we could do that. I was going to go into all the modern scientists. Trust me, there's tons of quantum scientists today that prove definitively that we are eternal beings because our DNA is a set of software of 3.2 billion letters.
Yeah.
And do you know a simple bumblebee is more complex than the it's like 10,000 times as complex as the most advanced computer we have today.
Oh, wow. Oh,
just a bumblebee. Now imagine us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why we were last.
Yep.
Everything else had to be there first. That's one thing I can agree with. What's his name? The old scientist on, you know, that all had to be there before we were introduced. That's by design again. You know, the perfect design of Christ and God.
Here's the thing. It says as a type of Christ. Now remember, there's different people groups. We have Israel. We have the church, and the church. It starts with this. You have all the different dominions and powers, okay? And they were all divvied up at Mount Hermon, okay? And then the Tower of Babel was busted up. And you have principalities and powers, like the prince of the power, the prince of Persia, right? Mm-hmm. And then the prince of Greece is coming.
Yes.
And so you see all these different territories. that are around there, and they all have their prince, as it's called, but it's basically that the principalities and powers. Mm-hmm. That's where we get the word from, the principalities and powers, and they have it. But God has his as Israel. Yes. He had his people, and he had his principality there. Mm-hmm. And it was doing that because he invited them to rule and reign with him, but he's got to adjudicate. So he's got to give them a chance to mess up, you know, give them enough rope to hang themselves, basically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, or else he wouldn't be a just God. So now we have Israel, which is a chosen people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that land over there, that's why you can't take it away, because it belongs to the King of Kings. Mm-hmm. And then all these other different principalities and powers that are coming around, which we call the Gentiles or the Goyim. You know, if you hear, that word, the Goy, oi, the Goy. So they're all vying for power. And then we see how the church is actually what's called the ecclesia, his governmental. He's pulling out a people for himself, the called out ones, ecclesia, the called out ones. And they can be called out from Israel or from any one of these other nations.
Right, right.
Uh-huh. So you could still be a Jew, but still be a born again Christian.
Right.
And still be a Jew. Mm-hmm. I could be a born-again Christian from this nation or that nation and all the other nations that are around. So, but we're still the ecclesia. But there's still the Jews who have that reign over the earth during the millennium where we rule with Christ. So you, if you're Jewish, you can still remain with Jews. You still got to receive the Savior, mm-hmm. okay? But you could be part of the ecclesia if you save him now, which means you get a raise, a boost, you get a promotion, and now you're part of the ecclesia to rule and reign directly with Christ. So we see the same similar picture of the ark as a type of Christ, because mm-hmm. Enoch was so close to God, he walked with God, that God mm-hmm. took him,
right,
called him up, mm-hmm. which is a type of the church. Mm-hmm. He was raptured up before the destruction came,
right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But Christ is still a type used in the ark, because the Jews through the destruction will be put into a place in the wilderness and hidden there for a time, times and half a time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same idea. The ark was to protect all of that. Okay. The, mm-hmm. The animals and everything, so he could redo salvation. But Jesus is also that type of the ark where he's going to protect them through the destruction of the tribulation, the fire.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, and he is the door. So we see where he closes the door. And then the pitch is like a covering. So mm-hmm. he's going to cover that and protect you from all the thing and a covering over sin.
Yeah, I will
so
protect
all
you.
That protection yeah. comes. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to revamp everything again. And all the animals are going to be rebooted with their DNA.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be rebooted with our original DNA, our mm-hmm. software code, mm-hmm. into new hardware.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like I could take my Bible program and put it into a new computer. It'll run bigger, better, faster.
Mm-hmm.
Although this one's really fast. you get the idea. It's the software that matters.
Mm-hmm.
So all the software and the DNA that he has, Jesus is going to come back and redo that. So I would suggest that you receive Christ. And this way, your software can be put into the new hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, you're not going to get any new hardware.
Right.
And your software is going to be floating around in a lake of fire for all eternity, trying to find this body that you can't find in torment. It's going to be horrible if you don't. Mm-hmm. You can only come with him and get your new resurrection body
mm-hmm.
If, in fact, you receive him as your Savior. And he died for you. So it could pay off your sin debt and you can come with him for eternity. So Lord willing, we'll see you up in the air. You guys have a blessed day.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central
for life-changing conversations and messages.